Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the book of Isaiah, chapter 66, verses 10 to 14. Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad with her, all you who love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all you who mourn for her, that you may feed and be satisfied with the consolation of her bosom, that you may drink deeply and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. For thus says the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then you shall feed, on her sides shall you be carried, and be dandled on her knees. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. And you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. When you see this, your heart shall rejoice, and your bones shall flourish like grass. The hand of the Lord shall be known to his servants, and his indignation to his enemies. So far, sermon text. May be seated. In Christ Jesus, who feeds us with his nourishing word, dear fellow redeemed, what greater comforting love can you find in this world than a mother's love for her child? The mother who carries her child in her womb under her heart for 9 months has a love and compassion for her child that is unmatched by any kind of other human love. It's a bond that begins even before the child's born and continues throughout life. Infancy, the baby that is nursed at the mother's breast, feels peace, content, and loved. A mother's love is the kind of love that picks up their child when they've fallen, kisses their owie, and all is better. It's the kind of love that's always there, with a reassuring hug. I'm sure many of you have felt that love from your mothers as well. Well, in Scripture, we normally have pictured God's love for us as a father's love. His love that provides for us, protects us, conquers our enemies, and showers down upon us a multitude of blessings day by day by day. In our text this morning, the prophet Isaiah pictures for us God's love as a mother's love. Mother's love in nourishing and caring and in feeding us. What a beautiful picture that is. That God's love for us is like a mother and a father. The kind of love he wants us to have in a family from our mothers and our fathers who care and love us. And so our theme this morning is a cry of desire. Oh, to be a child in God's family. You know, sometimes we take our families for granted until something bad happens. We get hurt and our family gathers around us. We suffer a loss and our family is there to pray for us. We're despairing or despondent and our family surrounds us, encourages us, and gives us love. How lonely it would be if God had not created families. Well, let's apply that to our spiritual family, as children of God. We'd not only be lonely, we'd be eternally lost without the family of God. As the prophet Isaiah nears the end of his book, he prays to the Lord for deliverance for his people. In chapter 63 and 64, he prays for grace and deliverance. And the Lord answers him in chapter 65 and 66 and says there will be an ultimate deliverance, the fulfillment of judgment, when he delivers all the believers and the unbelievers are judged. In the verses just before our text, verses 7 through 9, the Lord pictures then his church as Zion or Jerusalem. He pictures as a mother who's about to give birth to her children. But the birth process is without pain. And the picture there is the New Testament Christian church being born out of the Old Testament church. And that took place on Pentecost, when 3,000 people were brought to faith by the work of the Holy Spirit through the words that the apostles proclaimed on that Sunday. 3,000 children born to the church. Our text then takes place after that. And we continue that thought with our first point. Rejoice in God's blessings. Whenever a baby is born, there's rejoicing. Many phone calls are made. Today, maybe text messages are sent. Pictures are taken, and immediately they're placed on Facebook or on emails. You can see the blessed event that took place. Well, the Lord says to Isaiah the same thing. The church is being born. So what should you do? Rejoice with Jerusalem. Be glad with her, all you who love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all you who mourn for her. Although there's a very good reason why we should be mourning for Jerusalem because of the Old Testament Israelites who were falling away, the Lord now says, there's going to be a rebirth, a new birth in Jerusalem. And that's a New Testament church is going to be born. Rejoice over this birth. Jerusalem and Zion, of course, is the name of the city of Jerusalem where God's presence was. But it's a New Testament name also for His church, where He dwelt with His people. Already in the Old Testament, we see that. Isaiah 40, we read, comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem. Jerusalem is God's people. When you hear the term daughter of Jerusalem or daughter of Zion, it's another name to describe you and me, believers, children of God. Isaiah writes in chapter 62, indeed, the Lord has proclaimed to the end of the world, say to the daughter of Zion, surely your salvation is coming. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And you shall be called sought out, a city not forsaken. After the coming of Jesus, God's people whom he gathered into his church are described at Jerusalem, both by the Apostle Paul in Galatians, as well as the Apostle Peter in his letter, Book of Revelation. We're the sons and daughters of Zion, of Jerusalem, by faith in Christ Jesus. He's brought us together in his family, into Jerusalem, into Zion, to be his family, to be his children, the people of God. What a good desire. Oh, to be a child in God's family. Let us rejoice. First of all, we should rejoice because of all the blessings that God has showered upon us. We read in verse 12, for thus the Lord says, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. The picture here that Isaiah is drawing is, as a river flows into the valley and overflows its banks, water flows into the fields, waters the fields, and brings forth much fruit. That's what the Lord says. He brings peace to us. Not physical earthly peace, but the peace that we have in Christ Jesus. Jesus spoke of that peace too in John 14. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. We deserve to be parched and dry ground. We deserve to suffer condemnation, God's wrath because of our sins. But since Christ went to the cross, the animosity and wrath for our sins was laid upon Him. And now we receive and can rest in peace. Christ paid the price for our punishment, and we enjoy the peace that results from it. When we have that peace that passes all understanding, and then the world can rant and rage and be in turmoil and tumult all around us, and we will not be afraid. The Lord says also, like a river overflows its banks, the glory of the Gentiles. What in the world is the glory of the Gentiles? Well, in chapter 60, he uses the very same terms, but they're read this way, the wealth of the nations. That term includes all that the Gentiles bring to the church. Not only their numbers, but their offerings, their abilities, all that they have to give to the Lord in work for the Lord in His service, in His kingdom. And so the glory of the Gentiles is all of you here this morning, not only give of your time and your talents and your abilities and your offerings, but of your heart and your service to the Lord and serving His kingdom. This rejoicing thought we'll pick up again at the end of our sermon. Our second point then is, Isaiah says, drink spiritual milk. Verse 11, that you may feed and be satisfied with the consolation of her bosom, that you may drink deeply and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. A very literal translation of the first half of that verse is that you may suck to your fill at the breasts of her comfort. What a beautiful picture that is. Picture of a little baby nursing his mother's breasts, not only being fed and nourished, but being comforted and at peace. That's the picture God gives to us when we eat of and drink of His spiritual milk, of His Word. We're being fed and nourished, but He's also comforting us and encouraging us. Peter uses the same picture in his first epistle where he writes, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. When we were first born, in order to live and grow, we needed milk. Well, for spiritual growth, we need spiritual milk. We need the milk of God's Word. And the Lord has established the church to be the dispenser of that Word of God. Unfortunately, some Christians over the centuries of time have said, I don't need that kind of food. I don't need that spiritual milk. They'll think to themselves, I know all that stuff. I've been fed that since I was a little child. Or they'll think, that's really quite boring food. I need something more exciting. It doesn't taste very good anyhow. I need some spiritual milk that I want for my spiritual life. That'd be as foolish as a little baby thinking, I'm not going to nurse at my mother's breast anymore or drink milk. I'm going to eat dirt and suck my thumb. How long will that child live? How long will our faith live if we don't have a daily sustenance of this Word of God? A daily application of the law and the gospel to our hearts, through the spiritual milk of God's Word. For it's through the Word the Holy Spirit keeps this miracle of faith alive in us and keeps it growing and growing and active in our lives. But not only does the Lord, like a mother, feed us with His Word, we're also told in our text that He also nourishes, comforts, and cares for us. And that's our third point. Receive a mother's comfort and care. Verse 12. Then you shall feed. On her sides shall you be carried and be dandled on her knees. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. What a beautiful picture the Lord is sketching for us here. And I'm sure you've seen this, and maybe as mothers, you carry your child on your hip as you're walking along because they've been too tired to walk. Or if your child falls, you cling closely to your bosom and hug them and tell them all is okay. You give your child that bouncing on your lap, dangling on your knees, and the child laughs and giggles because they know they're being cared for and loved. These are all pictures that we see every day between mothers and children. And the Lord says, that's what I want to do with you, with my Word. Show you my care, my comfort, my guidance, my nourishing, all of you. It's interesting to note in this verse where it says, one, as one whom the mother comforts. The Hebrew word there is not a child, it's a child whom the mother comforts. We think, expect that. It's the word ish for man. A man whom the mother comforts. The Lord is saying, no matter how old you are, you're still a child of God. And that same thought is found in Isaiah 49. Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Are you comfortless? Are you going through trials or the feelings of despair? Are you lonely or depressed? Are you experiencing pain or sickness or facing an upcoming surgery or an illness? Are you scared or worried? Are you feeling empty? Are you heartbroken? Then let these words sink deeply, deeply into your hearts, your minds, and your soul. Rarely does a mother ever forget her child and loves him or her even as they get older into adult ages. Yet the Lord says it's easier for that to happen than for him to forget one of his own and not love his child. Oh, to be a child in God's family. What a blessing. And go back to that thought of rejoicing. In the last verse of our text, we read, "When you see this, your heart shall rejoice, and your bones shall flourish like grass. The hand of the Lord shall be known to his servants, and his indignation to his enemies." When we see all of this happening in our life, the Father saying to his Son, Jesus having died for us, risen again, and then that nourishing process that takes place from the time we're baptized and then fed weekly, daily with his food, Sunday school, family devotions, confirmation class, Sunday services. We see all this taking place. We rejoice and our bones shall flourish like grass. I'm sure you heard the saying when you see a young child growing, wow, he's growing like a weed. What's the Lord saying here? Your bones shall flourish like grass. You'll grow as fast as grass grows, spiritually. You'll grow and grow and grow in faith. That's what regular nourishment and encouragement from God's Word does. If you don't nourish it, it'll look like that grass out there, dry and dead. The hand of the Lord being made known means that God will do actions in this world that all will see. And of course, the greatest action that changed the history of the world was when he sent his Son, Jesus, into this world to take our place, to live that perfect life of obedient love for us, sacrifice himself on the cross, rise from the dead to conquer sin, death, Satan, and hell, and ascend into heaven to assure us that everything in our life will be for our eternal well-being. That's the hand of the Lord in action. But the Lord's hand will also be seen and shown to his enemies. Now, it's not only talking about Judgment Day, but throughout the New Testament era, one unbelieving ruler or nation would arise and try and destroy Christianity, and they would fail. False teachings and false teachers came, raised up by Satan to try and destroy the truth, and they failed. One tyrant, one ruler, one anti-Christian government came along, and they passed into the history of this world. The church militant, the church at war, someday will be the church triumphant, the church in victory. Yet this product of the Holy Spirit, this church, the family of God, believers, his children, are not perfect. The church is made up of sinners, like you and like me. We cause enough problems of our own so that instead of calling Jerusalem the golden, it should really be called Jerusalem the tarnished. We've done enough to tarnish the family of God. And yet, through Christ Jesus' death and resurrection, God the Father looks at us and sees Jerusalem the golden. Our sins have been paid for, cast into the depths of the sea. Christ's righteousness covers us. And he continues to guide and rule our lives so that his people, his children, are continually fed, and nourished with the milk of His Word. Oh, what blessings to be a child in God's family now and forever. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.